You like to stay around the table and not go out and work in the field. And I can see a picture of that because I was born on a farm, and there wouldn't have been anything on the table, though, if nobody had been out to the field. Guarantee you that. Not just to go harvest it, but somebody had to plant it and take care of it, or it never would have gotten to the table. Amen. Well, that's applying, of course, to us going out and doing God's work and soul winning and reaching others for Christ. I want you to open your Bibles tonight just as a starting off place. I'm going to ask you to go to Luke 21. I'm just going to do a little rehearsal tonight. Cover territory you've heard me cover before. Luke 21, Matthew 24, Luke 17. Some of those verses, basically in context, are probably applying to the tribulation period, and therefore probably the most direct message from those is to the nation of Israel, to the Jews. But because we can see some of what is being talked about, it ought to help us as Christians to understand that our blessed hope is not that far away. Amen. And just a little recap on it tonight. Looking with me in Luke chapter 21. And a lot of folks want to tie this just to the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, but it has to go further than that. I'll show you why here in just a little bit. Start off with me, verse 22 of Luke 21. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. That's a pretty big scope right there. All things that are written being fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. That was not true when Jesus was on the earth. They had returned pretty much back from Babylon. They were in Jerusalem. They were under the Roman rule, but they were not scattered like they later became scattered across the globe. So he said, they'll be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Again, that's a big picture. That's a big scope. That's all the way down to where we live. In fact, it was 1967 before the Jews got the Temple Mount back. And of course, they're trying to hold on to that in very troublesome times now. It says, there shall be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. That's not the rapture, folks. That's the coming back to take his kingdom in judgment, Revelation 19. Verse 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Again, I apply that basically to the nation of Israel and the redemption there to them at the end of the tribulation period. Tonight I want to deal with just nothing new, just remind ourselves just a little bit. It says, when you see these things come to pass. Now, sometime you understand the word seeing is used in a larger sense than just that I'm looking at this piece of cake, want some of it, or I'm looking at this nice new car. I mean, it's sometimes you say, I see, and you're enclosing a big, long, big picture, big view, long view when you use the word. I think about the guy that stopped by the farmer's house and said, I'd like to buy that horse out there. That's a pretty horse. That's a good looking horse, and I'd like to buy him from you. And the farmer said, no, he don't look so good. The guy said, yeah, I think he's a pretty horse. I'd like to buy him. So he bought him. Come back a little later, a few days later, mad. He said, that horse is blind. You didn't tell me. He said, I did. I told you he didn't look so good. Now, sometimes we play around with the words, but look up when these things begin come to pass. Your redemption draweth nigh. Now, it's saying when you see some of these things in the big picture, in the big view of things to understand it. It's in a prophetical context of looking and seeing. The news this week, we got the crazy guy over there in Oslo that killed those people. Isn't that hard to believe? How a man could just kill those young people, just murder, murder, murder. Boy, we're in a day and time, and the text I read said men's hearts failing them for the things that's coming on the earth. Shocking, isn't it? Shocking things like that. Of course, the liberal media immediately branded him a fundamental Christian. Isn't that amazing? That was a lie, total lie. But they want something to smear you and I, Bible believers. They want to smear us. They want to attack us. That's the thing that's going on. And my, how they'll run around to be able to do that. Now, that, as far as that man's reasoning, what he said he was doing it for didn't make any sense. I mean, he wants to stop Islam from taking Europe. It's already pretty well got it. And it was not Muslims he was killing. So that just didn't make any sense. Didn't make much sense at all. By the way, they are taking Europe. A little old place like Switzerland that's managed to stay out of the wars all this time, and where all the guys that's planning the war store their money, so it'll be safe over there, you know. But a little place like Switzerland, they say that Islam has come in now and put up these mosques, these minarets, these towers, where they have the loudspeakers and they call them to prayer five times a day, and they announce it over the speakers. They say people are moving out of those towns trying to get away from the sound. The noise is actually running the citizens out of town. And the Netherlands and Norway and Sweden, Switzerland, Europe as a whole has really got a problem, and America, of course, is getting the problem very, very fast right now also. But I want to just run through a few events that's somewhat in the news that we're aware of, and keep your Bible. We're going to look at some other verses here. And I want to consider just some of these events that are coming to pass, and certainly cannot get them all, and I'll go as a while if time allows tonight. I want to look at the turmoil that's in Egypt right now. Now, it's kind of died out of the news, but a bad thing has happened in Egypt. Mubarak, the leader, I saw in the paper today where he's been on a four-day fast. They can't get him to eat. It sounds like he's trying to starve himself to death. But a lot of folks from Washington on down thought it was a good thing, had an uprising and overthrew a dictator. No, it's gotten a lot worse because the Muslim Brotherhood's in control now. And that was a whole plan to start with. And that's a terrible thing. Mubarak was at least a friend to Israel, and we threw him under the bus, big time. And the treaty for 30 years, Egypt had a treaty there with Israel, and that was Israel's protection on that border. A similar thing happened back when Jimmy Carter was president. Most of you remember that. Remember the Shah of Iran? They basically threw the Shah under the bus, and look what happened. Ayatollah Khomeini took over in Iran, and it's been downhill ever since. And still today, and I fully believe they've got the bomb. All they're waiting on is the missiles to get gassed up to shoot them. That's about what it amounts to. But Egypt's turmoil, big time in the news. Go with me now to the book of Ezekiel, if you will. Go with me to Ezekiel chapter 29. I've covered this at least in my Sunday school class. I may have covered it in a sermon, I don't know. But I'm talking about Egypt for just a little bit and talking about what's coming to pass, what is happening. And here's a prophecy, here's a prediction made concerning Israel. And I'm gonna jump into it about verse 8 of chapter 29 of the book of Ezekiel. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring a sword upon thee, and cut off man and beast out of thee. Now here's the message to Egypt. And the land of Egypt shall be desolate and waste, and they shall know that I am the Lord, because he hath said, the river is mine, and I have made it. Most of you know the Nile River, just worshipped in Egypt, and is really their life's blood, humanly speaking. He says in verse 10, "Behold, therefore, I am against thee and against thy rivers, and I will make the land of Egypt utterly waste and desolate." Now here's what I want you to get. "From the Tower of Syene, even unto the border of Ethiopia." Now, he goes on in verse 11 and 12 to tell us that when this judgment comes, it says, "No foot of man shall pass through it, nor foot of beast shall pass through it, neither shall it be inhabited 40 years. That raises a big question. Verse 12, "I will make the land of Egypt desolate in the midst of the countries that are desolate, and her cities among the cities that are laid waste shall be desolate 40 years. And I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations and will disperse them through the countries." That has not yet happened, folks, at all. Now, here comes the question. God is pronouncing judgment on Egypt. Now, until this last disturbance, until this last coup, and this last revolution that just took place, Egypt had a peace treaty with Israel. Now they don't. And now the new crowd's taken over, the Muslim Brotherhood. Egypt, along with the rest of that crowd, they're gathering together, is going to come against Israel. There is going to be a big war, and this is going to be fulfilled. Now, here's the interesting part. A lot of times you see the skeptics and the atheists, and you see even the liberals saying, "Well, that was written for then." No, prophecy is written for the future. And this is prophecy right here. And so when you consider it, when this was written, there was no Tower of Syene. I have a picture of it right here. The Aswan Dam, and by the way, the word Aswan comes from the same root Hebrew word as Syene does. But here's a picture in one of the religious magazines, and there's a picture of the Tower of Syene. It's kind of designed like to maybe a blossoming out some kind of rose or something, not really a rose, but some kind of flower. And it was given to them from Russia. It's a 230-foot tower. It was named the Egyptian-Russian Friendship Monument, and it was erected in 1971. But this book of Ezekiel was written close to 3,000 years ago. Get your old Bible out anywhere you want to. This words were already there. You reckon God knew this tower was going to be built? Sure did. That's the Aswan Dam holding back Lake Nasser. Lake Nasser is about 340 miles long, about 20-something miles wide, best I remember. It's a big body of water, and it supplies the electricity and all, therefore, for Egypt. But that was not built when Ezekiel wrote, of course. And the Tower of Syene was not there. This was a gift from the Russians, but it's on one end of the dam, and you can see you can't see all the picture here. Pretty much you can. And here the Bible, all these many years ago, said there's a day coming that this judgment's going to come upon Egypt, and it gives the dimensions of where it's going to hit. It's going to hit here. It says, "I will make the land of Egypt utterly waste and desolate from the Tower of Syene," which would be on, if I've got it right, on this corner of the dam, the tower, and then the dam, Aswan Dam, comes on around like this and holds this great big body of water. In fact, they say that you could not destroy that dam with regular bombs. It would take big nuclear bombs to break the dam. Now, if that's the case, we read here in the text that something's going to pollute the land. It's going to radiate the land where neither the foot of man or the foot of beast can walk through it. That's what happens with nuclear stuff. That's nuclear poisoning of the land that's being described. And so you have this prophecy written close to 3,000 years ago, but you and I are living at a time that we see that it's getting very close to being fulfilled. Now, Israel's being backed into a corner. I mean, nations like Egypt, even nations like Turkey, and certainly Syria for a long time, all of these, just like the Bible said they would be, are becoming a force now, Iran and so forth, coming a force against Israel. Israel will pull the nuclear trigger before they will be annihilated. And that will set off what some want to call World War III, It will set off the nuclear exchange. There's no doubt about that. Probably be the passage that you read in Ezekiel, Gog and Magog. I don't know that for sure, but probably so. And all I'm saying is they're going to have radiation here for 40 years. Now, that brings up the discussion, well, is it 40 years before the trib? Well, I don't know. If this takes place in the tribulation, then the 40 years is going to extend. The land's going to have to be cleansed even as we move from the tribulation into the millennial reign. And again, you can't set your calendar, all that. That's in God's hands. But he's predicting the poisoning of the land, that the Egyptians are going to have to flee out of it. And later he's going to bring them back, but he said there'll be a base kingdom. They won't ever amount to what they have in the past. Now, I'm just saying, here's some current stuff, but it ought to cause us to say, hey, if we see this shaping up, how much nearer could we be to hearing the trumpet and the Lord get us out as God's people, God's church? Now, that's just something in the news concerning Egypt. Go with me again, and I'm sure I've shown you this before. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 17. And again, we're just reviewing a little bit. Isaiah chapter 17, this is in the news. Over in Syria, there's trying to be a revolution. And basically the city of Damascus is the one that you're hearing about in the news. Chapter 17 of Isaiah says, "In the burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap." Then it names some smaller cities nearby. And down in verse 3, it says, "The fortress also shall cease from Ephraim, and the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Syria." Now, here's an interesting thing about Damascus. Damascus is one of the oldest cities historically on earth that we know about. And it's never, ever been brought to the ground and ruined like this is talking about. You remember the book of Acts, Paul was on his way to where? To Damascus with letters as he persecuted the early church. And he was struck down by the Lord on the Damascus road, you remember? And he was changed from Saul to Paul, you know the story. But he was sent into the city, into Damascus, after he was struck down. And he was sent in, he couldn't see. They brought him in into the house on the street called Straight. You remember the story? The street called Straight is still called Straight today, and it's still there today. And the house he went into, Ananias' house, is still there. It was as of just a few years ago, still there. The city hadn't been destroyed, but the prediction is it will be. And to destroy a city like this is talking about it being destroyed is very likely what you and I see building in the news, the war that's going to come. And I'm just saying some of these things ought to cause you and I to think, hey, everything's not going to always go on just like it goes now. Isn't it interesting how you have something like this crazy man shooting up all these young people and blowing up that building? You didn't know that until it happened, and it happened quick. Every time you watch the news, there's something else different. Sometimes it's little, sometimes it's big, but things are happening fast, folks. They're happening fast. And the sad part is, you and I, God's church, we're kind of sleeping through it. We're kind of apathetic about it, and it's too bad we are, because there's probably not a person in this room don't know somebody they'd like to see get saved. Somebody you're related to, somebody you love, somebody you live side of. Well, the sad thing, I think, is going to be we're going to wish one day we had have said something when we could and had the opportunity before it got too late. I think about, and I'm just talking about things in the news and running the parallel scriptures with them. I think about the situation in China right now. A lot of folks were shocked recently when the Congress interviewed a general, or maybe he was the Navy admiral. He was one of the high brass. And they asked him a question he didn't answer politically correct. And that shocked them bad. In fact, they spent several days of news trying to cover it up. But They asked him what country posed the greatest threat to America. They thought he was going to say Iran. He said China. That blew their minds. It really bothered them. They didn't understand that. And so they began to run around and try to cover it up. But I have a report here. One of the guys wrote about it a little bit. This Navy Admiral, Robert Willard, and there was another general, I think, involved too. He said that China was building up militarily without any explanation about it and trying to keep our own Navy from even having operations in international waters anywhere close out there to them. And he is turning on the red light. He's saying something's wrong here. We better watch out. He goes on to say, long article on it, he goes on to say that they are conducting the major warfare against our cyberspace. What we probably don't understand, just like you have your cell phone and think you can't live without it now, but a few years ago you couldn't spell cell phone. Now the truth is, the whole world's come like that. And our military with the satellites and everything else is geared to the technology. And do you understand that the whole program of our armed forces, Navy, Army, Air Force, all of that is tied into the cyber world? And what this general is saying is, he said, every day we have thousands of attacks coming against our cyberspace, and he said most of them are coming from China. And do you understand the gravity of that is that it can keep us from shooting our missiles if the computers are messed up, right? We understand that, don't we? It can keep us from putting the planes in the air. It can keep us from functioning militarily like we should. But worse than that, it can also send a false signal. It can send a signal to Russia or anywhere else that American missiles are coming. I mean, the deception that's going on now, and some of you folks, you're geared into, you know, all this electronic stuff. And by the way, let me say something, just drop this in. This won't cost you anything. Gossip is still gossip, even if it's on Facebook. If it's gossip one-on-one, if it's gossip over the telephone, then it's gossip over your computer. I didn't cost you anything. Just want you to know that. But I'm saying to you, the enemy, when he said China, he shocked him. That wasn't politically correct. Why not? Well, for one thing, the CEO, did you see that in the news? The CEO of General Electric is now sending their X-ray plants to China. And that means, what did they say on the news? 16,000 jobs going to China. But now, wait a minute. The CEO of GE is Obama's job czar. Right. Now, let's see if I got this right. We got him hired by taxpayers' money to be our job czar to create jobs in America. But he's at the same time CEO, head boss man of GE, so he's sending his plants over there. Isn't that inconsistent? I say it's treacherous. It's what it really is. But that's the day we live in. China? You say, what's China got to do with it? Well, go to Revelation chapter 9. Go to Revelation chapter 9. And you know where I'm going, I'm sure. Give you a chance to get there with me. We find a future prediction here. Verse 13, Revelation 9, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, you know, Euphrates has been in the news a lot since we've had to fight Saddam Hussein and Iraq and all, you know, the Euphrates River. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day. It don't sound like a long time. Even if it's symbolic, it's not a long time. For an hour and a day and a month and a year. for to slay the third part of men. Well, how's that going to happen? Look at it, verse 16. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. And I heard the number of them. Now, you do your arithmetic, you'll come out, I believe, around 200 million. That's a pretty good size army. Now, as we scan the landscape today and look around and see who in the world could put 200 million soldiers out there, there's only two ways it could be done. Islam could do it, 1.6 billion population, and they consider that they're all the army anyway. That's why they'd put a bomb under the dress of a woman or in the backpack of a kid. So they could do it, but they'll never be organized enough to do that. But there is a nation that is organized enough, and that's China. And they claim they could do that. And if you've heard me preach it before, they've even built a superhighway across the mountains to come down and come down on the Euphrates River. Interesting, study that out. That's been true for many, many years. Their present military buildup, though, is really, really big. Now, talking about things in the news a little bit, looking at the scripture on them. What's in the news now, you can't hardly get anything else. And that's the so-called economy. That's the debt crisis. We're going to go into default, some say it won't matter. You don't know what the truth is. It is a mess. But I want to say this. We've been spending $4 billion a day that we borrow. $4 billion. Not million, but billion a day that we borrow. And we give it away, even giving much of it to China, other places. Amazing. $4 billion a day borrowed money. Kind of crazy that we borrow it from them, then turn around and give it back to them as a gift. I'm not talking about making payments. Amazing, stupid stuff going on in this world. You can't hardly figure. I think there's some honest folks in Washington trying to do something, but it's amazing how they can't do anything. How it just won't work. And the biggest thing I see up there is selfishness and loyalty to their political seat above what's best for America. That's the sad part. Anyway, what is predicted concerning the economy in the last days is predicted. Can I use the word bust? It's gonna bust. Truth is, we've been blowing this bubble big for a long time. You can go back as far as it's probably the beginning or before even World War II. And we started some giveaway programs that have grown and grown and grown, and they're continuing to grow. And now here's the truth with all of us. We've had some free candy from the government so long that we don't give our candy up. Now, I don't mind them taking yours or yours, but don't take mine. That's exactly what you see spinning around up in Washington right now. And it's too bad. And it will have, and is having, worldwide repercussions. Greece supposedly just bit the dust and had to be loan money to get out of it and all of that. But this whole thing has been false for a long time. The bubble had to burst. Didn't you know it was gonna burst back during the time you couldn't find a house in Haines City for sale and people was paying three prices for one? You didn't know it was gonna burst? I predicted, if you'd been listening, that it would. Did it? It sure did. It sure did. And I hate it because it hurts everybody. I hate it. But when man is stupid, he's going to pay for it. And that's exactly what we're doing now, even as a nation. And we hadn't quite got to the bottom yet, as far as my opinion goes. Now, I've heard this, and I believe it's true. I've heard that small businesses, and some not so small as we've seen in the news, some really big ones, were broke a long time before they ever knew they were broke. You know what I'm saying? Bookkeeping didn't catch up finally somebody said, hey, we're spending money we don't have. And that's what the government's been doing for so long under many presidents, but it's accelerated even greater here in these last 2 or 3 years, but it's been accelerating the whole time. Now, think about it with me a little bit. Broken, don't know it. How many of you now, I know this is probably an old cartoon. I know it don't have Star Wars and Swords of Light and all of that business in it. But do you remember Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote? Do you remember that one? You say, well, the whole thing was just a chase. Yeah, but it was kind of funny. Did you ever watch Wile E. Coyote run, watch me now, run off the cliff? He's way out there and he's doing all right. And suddenly there's an expression comes on his face. And he looks down. Oh, there he goes. Well, we've been out in space a long time. We just now begin to look down. The bottom fell out a long time ago. Now, I don't think we're going to survive as well as Wile E. Coyote did. Somehow or another, he was back on the chase again. That fall is where we're at now. We just hadn't hit bottom yet. And it's when we hit bottom, we're going to hurt, brother. It's going to hurt. Ah, you say, that's a pessimistic message. That's all right. Just don't look down. Just don't look down. Amen. The economy is not in good shape. You say, the Bible say anything about that? Well, if you went to Revelation chapter 6, you'd find it has quite a bit to say about it. Revelation chapter 6, you know the story. John's been caught up to the throne. He's seen the seven seal book taken out of the hand of him on the throne by the Lamb. And the seals begin to be opened, and you got the four horsemen of the apocalypse, it's so called. As the seals are opened, you got the white horse, and that's the peacemaker that's false, probably the Antichrist. Verse 4, you got the horse that was red, and of course that's the war. And then you come on down, and you got the black horse, and that's the famine. By the way, the famine in this old land's pretty big. It's hard to look at those little starving kids over there. And then it's harder for me to realize America and other nations are sending them money and sending them food, but we can't get it by the crooks that's in charge of it once it gets there. That's the most amazing thing. I had personal experience when we were trying to get the Bibles to the underground church in Russia. All the promises on the phone from over there. All of the safeguards we had, but once we got on their property, they could confiscate them, take them, and then sell them back to us before we could ever get them. It's the craziest thing you ever seen. Crookedness. That's why a lot of those kids are starving to death. Crookedness. Now, the nations are trying to feed them, but they can't get it through. This literally is happening, and I've had personal people that was over there tell me that the very stuff we sent over there free with U.S. labels on it goes in many places what we would call the stores or the dealers, and then you got to buy it. We sent it free, but you got to buy it back. Crazy. But that's part of what I'm talking about tonight. Now, the economy, not predicted good. You say, well, they're going to lift the debt ceiling. Well, isn't that wonderful? How long is that going to last? What a lot of folks don't understand is when the housing bursts come, they cranked up the printing presses. And they're printing false money as fast as those things can run, and they hadn't stopped them yet. And the inflation button hadn't kicked in quite yet. Well, it has. You ladies at the grocery store, have you seen it kick in? I go to the parts store once in a while. I've seen it kick in there, Brother Wiebe. Amazing. I mean, just go in and buy a little something that was $6 this week, and next week it's $12. That sort of thing. Say, what happened? Well, the item you bought's the same item. Your money was just worth less. See, that's the way it works. That's called inflation. Anyway, all of that's real. And I want to say this, because I didn't see the gears turning in some of your little brains out there. There's no human way to
safeguard this.
You say, I'm going to take my money and go bury it in a can in the backyard, but when you dig it up, it'll be worthless. So you got no protection there, if it's worth anything. Say, well, I got a good investment. I assure you of that. You say, that's pessimistic. No, that's optimistic. God said it was going to happen. It's happening. That tells me now, when I look and see these things coming to pass, look up, for my redemption draweth nigh. That might be a promise to the Jews and the trib, but brother, if I didn't see a promise to them, I've got an earlier promise than that. One is coming sooner than that. So it encourages me to say, hey, I see where they're going to be rescued way down there, but I'm going to get rescued back here. Amen and amen. You know, there's one way to safeguard it. That's the spiritual way. Just trust God with all of it. Serve Him. Use it for His glory as long as you can. And that puts you in a good position, because you know what? God has promised to supply all our needs according to His riches and glory, not according to the U.S. Mint or printing presses or Congress, but His storehouse, according to His riches in glory. That's what the verse says, Philippians 4:19. Was there a recession in Elijah's time? You remember him running out there and staying at the brook and the ravens bringing him food? Now, I know you can play with the word meat in the Bible. It says they brought him meat. Now, I understand that could mean more than just beefsteak or lamb chops. But if he was bringing meat, if the ravens was bringing Elijah meat, they stole it from somewhere. Probably flew in an open window at Ahab's table and took it away from him, took off with it. I'm just letting my imagination go there a little bit. So he might have been eating pretty high out there, sort of at the creek, huh? Anyway, that's the best retirement plan there is, folks, God's retirement. And the good part is that we know we're not surprised. Bad side, yeah, for the folks that don't understand and they're in fear and trembling. And it amazes me to hear the news, how that one crowd says it's bad, the other crowd says it's not bad, it depends on which party. It's crazy. The loyalty is not to America anymore. And I feel sorry for the folks that don't know the answer. I do know the answer. I don't know how long before it comes, but I know the answer. And that's the good part about it. The best news is God's written us some promises, and His promises are still good. No bad checks with the Lord, amen? Now, what that ought to mean to you and I is, though, that let's take serving God serious. Look up, our redemption draweth nigh, rapture, trumpet, catch us out. It may get a little worse before it happens, but I got the promise of the Lord that I'm not going to stay here till His wrath begins to fall. His wrath's going to fall on Egypt. His wrath's going to fall on Damascus. His wrath's going to fall on America. Oh, yeah. It's falling now. Falling now. But it's going to increase. But He's not going to bring His wrath upon His children. He's going to take us out. And then, brother, it's going to be a bad place to be in. Bad place to remain, it sure is. Well, just wanted to cap and recap a little bit tonight. And just guess you say, well, that's not encouraging. Well, it is kind of encouraging. It's kind of encouraging to see things shaping up like they are. And thank God we know how it turns out.